Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of Nairobi Sisterhood. I am Gina and my bestie is behind the camera because we are doing something a bit different today. Today we want to get to know each other a bit better. We want you guys to get to know us a bit better. We are going to be talking about love on this episode, which is a topic that we've gone in and out of on our other episodes, but we've never really gone deep into it. And this is season 20. No, sorry. This is episode 20 of season 2. And this is going to be our final episode of this season. Thank you guys so much for being with us on this journey up to this far. I'm a bit nervous because we never do this. And I don't know if I like talking about myself that deeply. But here we are. So I'm going to let Maya take over from behind the camera.
Okay. So thank you for being here.
Thank you, Gina. I hope you're going to brave these questions. You've got this.
Okay. Yeah.
So we're going to talk about love. What love means to us, how we've experienced love, and our experiences with it now and in the future.
Yeah.
So my first question, Gina, is what is love to you? What is love?
What is love to me? Love is acceptance. Love is choosing to be there for someone regardless of their small flaws, regardless of what their flaws are, accepting someone regardless of how different they are. I feel like to me, love is also being there for someone and also showing up for them even when maybe you're also not at 100, giving your 80, giving whatever it is that you have and being available and loving someone the way they want to be loved. That I think is what love is to me. Yeah.
Okay. So this is going to be also an easy one.
Okay.
Can you describe your first love or an experience that is most memorable to you of love? Of you experiencing love?
The first time.
It could, it could be the first time if that's something you want to talk about, or it could be a beautiful experience with love that you think you'd like to share with us.
I think for me, my experience with love that is most concrete is the love that I know my mother has for me. And that's, I feel like, the love that I've felt so strongly and so deeply because of how she constantly, as I said, shows up for me, even when she's not at 100, regardless of what I'm going through at that point in time, even when I was a child, even when I felt like, you know, maybe I wasn't good enough in some circumstances, she was always there to make sure that whatever it is, like, you're going to be fine, you're good. She's always very encouraging. And she's still always very, very encouraging. So, and generally, I think that is the first place I experienced love, at home with my mother. On a romantic level, I think the first time I felt loved, I don't know whether it was love, but it was when someone chose me. And I don't know how healthy that is. But I remember feeling loved because this person had options and this person was even seeing other people and talking to other people when we met. But in that point in time, in that moment, they decided that they want to be with me above everyone else. So yes, I guess they stopped seeing the other people, but I felt loved because he picked me. And I know it's not the healthiest, but that's what I felt. It was like 6-7 years ago.
Okay. Are you okay?
Yeah, okay.
How do you think your upbringing has contributed to how you interact with your romantic partners?
Okay. So I grew up in a small town called Nakuru, raised by both my parents, and I have a brother. So that's the dynamic of my family. But our family has not been and is not perfect. No one is perfect and it hasn't been. And I think that I did feel like my mom loved me, but I think in very many ways, I felt like I was struggling to be accepted even at home. And that's because I felt like I was always different at home and in school. I felt like I was always a different person. And I felt like I was seeking validation even from inside our house. And I don't think I 100% got it. And because of that, I think even right now, moving into the world and real life, I approach a lot of situations, or I used to approach a lot of situations from, you know, give me validation, or I want you to accept this and this part of me before I even accepted myself. So for the most part of my adulthood, I've been trying to unlearn these things. So right now, I think if I learned to love myself when I was younger, I would have a better relationship and relationships with other people right now and over my adult life. So that's how I think it mostly affected my life. Would I change it? I don't know. We will talk about that one differently. But I definitely feel like it's impacted my current love situations. Yeah. Yeah, I think growing up also, sometimes our fathers are there for us, but maybe they're not there for us the way we want them to be. And because they're our primary, they're the first males that you encounter, you kind of move with life with whatever it is that you experience. So whatever validation you sought from that person is the same validation you try and seek from other men that you interact with, and the same type of acceptance. And sometimes you also project because you feel like you don't want this person to act a certain way. And if they do, or maybe if they do something that reminds you of that moment when you are not feeling accepted and loved, you overreact and you become anxious, or you become either too attached or not attached enough. So yeah, it definitely has affected how I move about my romantic relationships. But I think it's definitely also a work in progress. Yeah.
I love the self-awareness. Oh, bless you.
Yeah.
So the next question is, what does vulnerability mean to you in romantic setting? And do you struggle with it? And if so, how?
Okay, let's start. What does vulnerability mean to me? It means to being honest. Being honest with yourself, first of all, before you're honest with the other person. And then being honest with the other person enough to communicate when things are not okay. Communicate when you know that they are not meeting your needs fully. And also communicate when you know there are things that are outside of them that are affecting your relationship right now. Even if it means, like, my job is not going well and it means that I'm in a bad mood, which means it's affecting our relationship. Be honest about it. It means opening up and caring about how the other person is feeling, and also feeling about your feelings, caring about how the other person reacts to you, and being honest, basically just being honest and transparent and open. What was the other question?
The question was, what does vulnerability mean to you in a romantic setting? Do you struggle with it? And if so, how?
Do I struggle with vulnerability? I think I struggled with it at first. Before I get comfortable with someone enough to get to be vulnerable with them, it takes a while. But once I do get comfortable, it's not, well, I will communicate maybe a bit too much. You will be in my business and I will be in yours. But I think the problem comes in, like, at first when someone is getting to know me and I'm not fully trusting of the person, even if they've not given me any reason not to trust them, I build up my walls and I become a bit reserved until you can kind of, like, prove to me that you're not going to hurt me. And obviously people don't know this about you before they approach you. So they will approach you as themselves and they find you as the reserved person you are. So it can be a bit hard to fully connect with someone when you're constantly waiting for the other shoe to drop. So in those moments when I've been able to just, like, let my reservations down and open up and be vulnerable and be able to connect with the person, it usually goes mostly well. So I'm learning to be more and more vulnerable even without waiting for the other person to do or say something. Yeah, just as me.
Oh, love that. Yeah. Okay, so have you ever intentionally or unintentionally sabotaged a romantic connection that was healthy for you? If so, why?
I'm sorry, what?
Have you ever intentionally?
No, I heard you, girl. I heard you the first time. I very much heard you.
You said loud and clear.
Intentionally or unintentionally sabotaged
a romantic connection that was healthy for you? If so,
you
why?
Know the funny thing is, this romantic connection hit me up previously, like 2 days ago, and it's so the one that I sabotaged
just in time.
I don't know if you're gonna see this, but I'll
talk about it. Remember when I said that the first time I felt loved romantically was when someone chose me over someone else? At that time when I was being chosen over someone else, this other person was also in my life trying to choose me, but there was no one else on his side. And we were very young, to be honest. So we had a thing, like, really post high school, Then it didn't go anywhere. Then I started seeing the other person. Then we had a thing again, like 2018, 2019, nearer to the end of uni. Then I also sabotaged that one because this guy was genuinely really good, but I could tell that I hadn't emotionally grown enough to sustain a healthy relationship with him. Why? I don't know. I can't really explain why, but I know that how I sabotaged it was I stopped responding. And I am a communicator. Like, if you are in my life, you know that we shall communicate. But with this person specifically, I stopped being a communicator. I stopped telling him how I was feeling. I stopped being available. And I started, all of a sudden, after being so close to this person, started acting. I started acting different. Like, he would text me things that I would previously find funny and laugh at, and I wouldn't respond. Or I would respond with, like, haha, with no emojis. Like, very cold. I feel very bad. I'm so sorry. I would respond very coldly, or maybe not respond at all and call this person back like after 24 hours, and he would wonder like, what's wrong? Are you okay? I'd say, yeah, I'm just going through things, but he didn't know that he was the things I was going through. And it's a bit unfortunate because I think had I given that situation a chance, it would have been healthy, but I didn't. And I don't blame myself, and eventually I did apologize to him. But part of me always wonders, like, maybe if I was a better person, I would have been in a healthy relationship. I don't know if that makes sense. Yeah, but also relationships are not the end all, so I don't feel like I lost out.
Yeah, and I agree with your perspective, because I think the awareness, like the self-awareness for you to know that you are not ready to be in a relationship with this person means that you didn't. I feel like there are certain instances where we put ourselves through things because we weren't ready. And it's good to just acknowledge that I wasn't ready for this, and it wouldn't have worked out because you weren't ready.
Yeah, I just think how I went about it is what was wrong. I could have just, you know, sit down with him and be like, okay, maybe we could just, if you are open to it, remain friends for this period of time as I am working on this and this, instead of just pushing him away.
But is that a healthy thing to do?
I don't know.
The communication is healthy.
Yeah.
But the remaining good friends, shelving someone,
I wouldn't want. That's why I said if you are open to it. Okay. If he was like, I can't be friends with you because I'm interested in you romantically, I would have still been okay with it.
Okay.
It's just that they're not communicating, and pushing someone who cares about you away was the negative part of this.
Oh,
and
I
was the
that.
Me self-sabotaging.
I get that.
Yeah.
Oh, bless you. Okay. Oh,
I have another one though. But no, there was another time I think I also self-sabotaged. But this, okay, the person wound up going away, like going out of the country. So I don't know if it would have worked out eventually. But it was basically the same situation. And now when I thought about it afterwards, I just think about myself and how I act in situations that are actually healthy. Because I feel like I can maneuver toxic situations easier than healthy situations. And that's on me to figure out. Me and my therapist.
Yes, your therapist. She said, I got a job.
Yeah. Mm. Hi, Sylvia.
Okay, so now that you've mentioned that they're toxic, besides the toxic situations, have you noticed an unhealthy common trait amongst your romantic partners?
Okay, an unhealthy common trait.
An unhealthy
oh, yeah.
common trait amongst your romantic partners. And then the last part of the question is, if so, what do you think is stopping you from changing the narrative?
Okay. The unhealthy common trait here is, I don't know why, but there's something about avoidant people. They just be looking a little sexy. They're not. But I'm an anxiously attached person. So I don't know why I keep gravitating towards avoidant people. And it becomes very difficult because, as I said, I like to communicate and I like to put everything on the table. But most avoidant people will try and run away when these things are being put on the table. And then we will keep pushing the agenda. So, yeah, that's definitely one of the most common toxic traits in the people I have been seeing. What is stopping me from changing it is that I think I've been falling into cycles where you meet someone and it's comfortable because it's the same situation, just in another body. So not allowing myself to just have moments of being with Nkina and just like, you're just Nkina, you're just single, you're just living your life as you, you're getting to know yourself without the validation and opinions of other people, without trying to fit into anyone else's life. I think not doing that has stopped me from breaking the cycle, but that's, the cycle is broken right now because that's what I'm doing.
You've spoken about things in your, a common, so you've mentioned the toxic traits in your former partners.
Mm-hmm.
What or how do you think you contribute to toxicity in your romantic relationships?
Okay. Basically, what do I contribute to the toxicity in the relationships and the situationships? I think, one, sometimes I communicate a bit too late when I'm not okay with something. So that makes the situation, it will keep going the way it's going if no one changes anything. And if I'm unhappy, I'm going to act as an unhappy person without actually communicating that I'm unhappy and why I'm unhappy. So that's one of them. I think sometimes, I don't know, it's that feeling of you want someone to read your mind. Like, yes, I will communicate at some point, but before I communicate, I will be acting how I'm feeling. So the person may not understand why I'm acting the way I'm acting. Another way, okay, it's hard to answer this question because I'm perfect.
Yes, and you are. In your
the best to ever do this. So how can I say that I contribute to toxicity? That's another way I contribute to it, by not recognizing that some things I might say or do are toxic because they've been my truth for so long. Like the thing about not fully opening up until I'm 100% comfortable. So someone knows you, but they only know you to some extent. So it's hard for them to act in the way that you want them to act because you've not given them an opportunity to get to know you to the depths that they could know you. So, and then now, like what I've just done, like masking things with humor. When someone asks a question that could potentially be deep, I know that I can very much just make a laugh situation about, like, make comedy out of it and not actually answer the question. So I know that that doesn't help, especially if someone wants to get to know you more deeply.
Just a follow-up.
Wait. Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
Just a follow-up on your answer.
Uh-huh.
You said you struggle. You're a good communicator, yes. At least in the friend zone. Me as a friend, I'm not complaining.
Yeah.
But what would you say is the reason you struggle to communicate? Like, is it a fear? What is it?
I think in romantic relationships, one, we see with friends, it's very easy to communicate because unaenda wapi? You ain't going nowhere. Mm-hmm. You ain't going nowhere, girl. With romantic relationships, I'm afraid of the judgment that comes from the communication, or if I'm afraid of being misunderstood. I think that's one thing that I've lived my whole life feeling, and feeling it in the sense, in the situation where things are so deep and emotional scares me, because I want to feel safe, I want to feel heard, I want to feel seen. And that's also one of the things that I know has made many of my situationships and relationships end, is feeling unseen and unheard. But now getting to that point where I'm communicating so that you can see me is hard, because I don't want you to misunderstand me. I don't want to bear my soul out and then you're like, huh? That's gonna crush me, because I don't want to explain my life story and tell you why I do the things I do and why I love the things I love, and at the end of the day you just don't get it, and then you don't even try and get it, and then I'm just left there having been vulnerable and not received anything out of it.
If you weren't
No, saying the other, being now the anxious attachment style also can be toxic, because then now I'm moving to you with the energy of someone who, like, I'm moving to you as though you already understand. And maybe I've not even said anything. And I'm moving to you with, I want, if you give anyone else any type of attention, I feel insecure. If you start talking to someone else, or if one day you wake up late and you don't send that good morning text, I start feeling some type of way and I might project it. No. Less often now, but I will feel the, once I'm attached, I will feel that anxiety of what, why hasn't he texted me at 7:05 and he always wakes up at 7:05, like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get. Okay, so has your attachment style? I'm just like, I'm learning so much. It's also for learning so much about your friend, and you're like, wow, like I know you.
Yeah.
But now I know you. Like, I know you, and now hearing you voice those things. Sometimes there are things you know about your friend, but you've never really had a conversation.
Yeah.
And sat down, and we are like, okay, this and this and this and this, you know? So has your attachment style always been anxious, or has that changed over time?
I think for the most part, it's always been anxious for as long as I can remember, because even in my childhood, as I said, I was always seeking out for things that I didn't get. So at no point do I ever feel like it was avoidant, unless I am avoiding the anxiety, which is like, I will feel the anxiety and not want to deal with it. Then now in that moment, I'll be a bit avoidant. But naturally, I can't remember when I've not been anxious. Also, like, I'm just an anxious person. And then the attachment still is also anxious.
Okay, that makes sense. If you weren't scared of being... You've mentioned misunderstood by a romantic partner. How would you handle your romantic relationships differently than you do now?
Wow. Oof. Damn. I think I'd, from myself, love and give a lot more. I think I would, I'd love the way I want to be loved, which is a lot. Like, I love love. I love sharing. I love giving. I love doing things for my people. I love showing up. I really love showing up, actually. I want to be physically there for every moment. And not only... So if I wasn't as scared as I was about now the feeling misunderstood and being vulnerable, like, I'd let people into my life so that they can be there for me and I can be there for them and do it even sooner. Like, not have to wait months or years for someone to get to know me. So I'd show them who I am. And oh, first of all, I am a vibe. And I know
10 over 10.
I know that I am a vibe, and I would want someone to experience me being a vibe and me being open and honest and soft and all these things without fear, without the fear that they will hurt me or misunderstand me. So I just give more, and I love to give. I'm so scared that I'll give the wrong person.
And that's a valid fear. Oh, bless you. So as we wrap up, what does an emotionally safe romantic relationship look like to you? What does an emotionally safe romantic relationship look like for you?
Where I'm given money.
This is money had about. To make an appearance.
If I don't talk about money, who will?
Love that.
Anyway, just Jokes ask the aside. Question again.
Jokes aside, what does an emotionally safe romantic relationship look like for you?
Oh, what emotionally safe? It looks like being able to show all the parts of me that I'm not proud of and not feel judged and not feel like I am a lesser person because of my flaws and not feel like I am not feel like I am not matching up to the other person's expectations because they already love me for who I am. I think being emotionally safe also means that in my moments of being happy, we are happy together. In my moments of being sad, you are there for me when I'm sad. You don't need to feel everything I am feeling, but you just need to show up for me in the same way I will show up for you, and teach me how to show up for you and be there for me as we be there for each other. So it's not just you giving me or me giving you, it's us giving each other and us growing together and us sharing experiences and moments that other people will never get to feel because they don't have the connection that we do.
Oh, I love that. Thank you so much for answering these questions. Is there anything you want to add on to about love? About is there any other? This is your final question, obviously. Okay. So,
as I said, I love love. I love watching people be loved. I think that everyone is deserving of a wholesome, true, deep love. I know that it may not be easy to come by for everyone, but the last thing I'd say is that even when you're not getting that love from other people, you can give that love to yourself, and you are valid and whole, and you're a whole being, and you're a fully accepted person, even when there's no one telling you that you are. Yes.
Do you think This is okay. Hey, I keep saying final.
It's giving Ruto.
Do you think baby Ngina or younger Ngina would be proud of how current Ngina has handled her romantic relationships to this day?
Oh, God.
If wow. not, what can you do differently to honor baby Ngina?
Baby Ngina is a baby, so she probably has no thoughts. Okay, but I think yes and no. I think yes, she would be proud because I left situations that could have been more damaging than they were if I stayed. So for the fact that as I am right now, I know I am self-aware to at least an extent, and I have made choices that have hurt me in the moment, but eventually were for the greater good. So in that sense, yes, I think she would be proud. But also, I think she wouldn't be proud of the fact that I waited for other people to love me before I loved myself. And that's the thing that I'm still working on right now, just loving me for me without waiting for outside validation or acceptance, even from my friends. Because I know sometimes I will bother my friends with, is this okay? Is this nice? Like waiting for them to tell me yes. And they will validate me. But I'm learning to, before I even seek it out from outside and even from the people who I am sure love me, to find it within myself. And in the moments when I didn't love myself as much as I do now, I might have made decisions that were damaging to me emotionally because I chose people who in that moment made me feel a little bit good about myself, and but they took away so much more than they left me with. And right now I have no hard feelings towards them, but I'm struggling with forgiving that version of Ngina. And what I wish the childhood me would know is that even with the struggle of forgiving myself and feeling like I allowed people into my life who, to be honest, don't think they were deserving of that kind of love and energy that I was giving them in that moment, that even with that, I am still deserving of love, and I'm still, what do I say? As I said, like, I'm still human, I'm still a lovable person, I'm still good, and it doesn't change who I am as a person.
Yes, you are worthy of love. Okay, now your answer has brought up another question.
Ruto, lie to us.
But how do you think, because you've mentioned now your previous relationships and how you're proud of who you are now.
Yeah.
But how would you say you've self-abandoned or self-neglected in relationships that you've been in?
I can see my best friend in these questions. Yeah, I see you.
Shout out. First of all, let's just take this moment to shout out to Nyox for this question because she said, I am on therapy mood.
Ooh. Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah.
Ooh. Okay. I think more recently. Hey, you're saying bring out the tear works. I feel like you're fishing for my tears.
No. This is the final one. Don't cry, baby. You're deserving of love and you're worthy. Please.
I am deserving and worthy of love. Amen. And that is, okay, leading up to that, I self-abandoned maybe a bit more recently when I accept like five out of the 10 things that I want, because I feel like I only deserve the 5 out of 10 things that this person is giving me. So even if someone is not really meeting my needs to their complete extent, I still end up giving them my 100, but only because it's like in that moment, I feel like I'm only worthy of those 5 out of 10 things. And it's been a bit hard to come out of that space and realize that me allowing for this person to only give me these things and not even communicating that I need 6 to 10, or even if I communicate, I don't really enforce my boundaries. It's really me leaving myself in the wind, because I could easily just be like, okay, because you're not meeting my needs, I'm going to step away from this situation. And that's what I did eventually, but I know I've done that a lot. And that was those cycles that needed to be broken, like being constantly, okay, this one will give you 1 to 5, this other one will give you 5 to 10, but no one is giving 1 to 10. And accepting all these partials when I'm not really getting everything I need and not really giving myself even room to find the 1 to 10 person, because I'm constantly with the 4 to 6 people I don't know if that makes sense, but
it makes so much sense. Yeah. I get it. I understand. It's accepting breadcrumbs when you could get a whole package.
Yeah, like you're accepting a petal when you deserve a bouquet. So
period. Like, what is this?
Exactly.
I love
and
that.
And then learning that it's okay for me to want things. Like, I like flowers. I like being fed. And some people have made me accept a lot less than... I'm talking about food and flowers, and the people who made me accept a lot less than food and flowers.
Why? What is the reason?
Why? Why am I out here hungry and I'm with you? Like, I don't understand.
And not even that. Yeah. It's not like you need to prove that you're worthy of these things. You are worthy of these things regardless, by virtue of you existing and you being Gina.
Exactly. So leaving, and now the self-abandonment just comes in. Even not recognizing in those moments that I'm self-abandoning until someone actually points out, you know, what are you doing? You're worthy of so much more. And even in those moments, I know another way I completely leave myself is by not talking to my friends when all this is happening, and then talking to them afterwards, and Maya is making a face.
I am.
Because she knows that I'll just be like, oh, by the way, this and this was happening, and I don't talk about it because I know my friends will react in a way that will force me to come to terms with what's actually going on and the reality of the situation. And if I was just honest with myself first and then honest with my friends, I wouldn't stay in some of these damaging, emotionally damaging things for as long as I did. Yeah.
Okay. I agree. And I just want to say as a close that, Gina, you are worthy of love. A wholesome, beautiful, I don't know, endless love from everyone who is in your life. And you deserve the 100% that you give us. And I'm here to love you as we wait for this person who's coming. Nasiju mbona amechelewa. Yeah.
I didn't think this is what would get me.
So, yeah. Ngina?
Yeah.
It's coming. It's beautiful. And the beautiful thing about your self-growth, because I've obviously seen you for years, is to see that even, like, you don't need it from someone else because you're already giving it to yourself.
Thank you.
And you are enough.
Thank you. Oh, that one. Thank you.
Okay. Oh. Now even me, I'm getting emotional. Nata sijafika kwa camera. Oh my God.
Yeah. Okay. At least I didn't cry.